This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mike Strands. Mike is with the National Farmers Union and is set to join us in just a few moments. Now, his office is on the other side of Washington, D.C. from USDA. That's where Daniel Whitley is administrator of the Foreign Ag Service, talks export volumes.
Volumes were down for some products. There was certainly a value story for some of the leading products, but for beef, that was a volume story. We had volumes up for beef. Even in the tree nuts category, we saw some volumes up for pistachios and walnuts. The dairy complex had volume increases for things like fresh cheeses and whey protein. So there were a number of products that probably don't get the attention they deserve for sort of leading the charge on a volume story.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Mike Strands. Mike is Vice President of Advocacy with the National Farmers Union. He's in Washington, D.C. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
All right. Let's just jump in right in the middle of the pool here. USDA releasing some grants. These are tied back to meat and poultry processing. This is really something the industry's been watching, this idea of expanded processing now for a few years. What do you see when you look at what USDA's doing here?
So earlier this week, USDA announced $73 million in grant projects, 21 grant projects around the country that will help expand and make more resilient our meat processing sector to help prevent against some of the challenges we saw during COVID, and also to give individual farmers and ranchers more options for marketing. So we're glad to see this. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of action as well from the administration about the need for competition. There needs to be more enforcement of antitrust laws. There needs to be more openness in the marketplace. But one thing that this grant does, or these grants do, will give more options and more choices to producers. So we're glad to see it, and we've been cheering it on and trying to help some of our members and organizations get access to these efforts.
And I'm going to focus for just a moment on the cattle side of the equation, the beef side. Obviously, as we were going through the pandemic, things were way out of whack. Since that time, we've seen prices rebound. Does this mean we don't need additional processing, or does it just remind us that the tide can turn?
Right. Yeah, we all know well the cycles that we can see in the marketplace, particularly in cattle. And with the conditions are as they are today, that's, you know, we're just at one point in that cycle. One of the things that we saw that was so damaging was just, well, 2 years ago now, we were kind of on the other end of that. And what we hope to see and what we expect to see from these grants is when we have more marketing opportunities in different and more diverse parts of the country, that we've got options for farmers to market their cattle, ranchers to have a place to go for slaughter. And that gives us a more resilient rural economy as well. So when we've got more choices besides just one or two in our area, there stands to be a benefit for individual farmers and ranchers. So we're glad to see these programs and grants move ahead.
We already have started our discussions and our debate and hearings on the next farm bill, the 2023 farm bill. And as we start laying that out, let's start with kind of the meat and poultry side, because there's been a lot of action, especially on the Senate side, on the markets and processing side. Could any of those conversations, debates, could they work their way into the farm bill?
Those cattle price discovery and special investigator acts, those could end up in the next farm bill. But what would be even better, especially given that there's been some, like you said, progress on the Senate side, in the next couple of months here with the 117th Congress finishing up its work here, those could still move ahead in the next 2 months. And we're going to be pushing hard for that. I think given the interest we've seen already through the last almost 2 years in this Congress in this, those two bills have a good shot at moving ahead. If they don't, in the unlikely event that they don't, those topics may well end up in the next farm bill. And one of the priorities that farmers union members have identified is the need for competition to be part of the discussion in the 2023 farm bill. The inclusion of a competition title, for instance, in the farm bill would put a good deal of emphasis on these issues and help us, you know, address problems in the marketplace before they need to be rectified through assistance or some sort of after the fact help. If we can bring more competition into the marketplace in the first place, we'll all be better off. So a competition title could be in the next farm bill and include some of those priorities you mentioned.
We look at, and there's multiple titles in there. So when you look across those multiple titles, what else are some of the priorities that Farmers Union has?
So we're going to be looking at how to learn from the experiences we've had over the last 5 years since the 2018 Farm Bill. One of the things that became evident was, you know, right about the time the 2018 Farm Bill was being considered and debated, is that there was some marketing assistance programs that came into play pretty quickly. In fact, a lot of those programs that the previous administration brought ahead during the trade war with China aren't accounted for in the Farm Bill. So a lot of the assistance and safety net work that was done during the 2018 Farm Bill is not present in the baseline projections for the cost of this next Farm Bill. I think we need to look at how that worked or didn't in different ways and bake that into Title I commodity programs or in crop insurance in one way or another. We also need to make sure we've got some permanent disaster programs that reflect and respond to the changing climate and how the losses that farmers in different parts of the country have suffered due to extreme weather, that those can be addressed quickly, effectively, and efficiently. And then, of course, we're going to see some efforts to work more on conservation programs so that family farmers and ranchers can continue to be part of the solution when it comes to climate change, and we can help out with that. You know, there's going to be a lot of work to do in the 2023 Farm Bill. I know a lot of people are talking about, is this going to be an evolutionary or revolutionary Farm Bill? I don't think we should get caught up in that so much as taking stock of what we need to have fixed, what sort of policy changes are needed, and go from there. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Hey, Mike, is there any concern that Congress will have to tighten the purse strings, if you will, as they write this next Farm Bill?
It's a possibility. And, you know, I think over the last couple of years, we've had to take some big actions as a country through congressional debate and consideration to address the challenges from the pandemic and kind of the continuing ripples that still are and reverberations going through the economy. And it's been some strong, swift action that has helped with that. What that means in terms of the Farm Bill remains to be seen. I think we'll see some greater clarity in the next couple of months on that as far as what happens during the final sessions of this Congress and to see what sort of appetite Congress has for additional spending or prioritizing the, you know, a domestic, secure, resilient food supply or, you know, addressing different policy goals through the Farm Bill. So it may be a Farm Bill that has cuts in it. We certainly hope that it isn't. One of the priorities that Farmers Union members have laid down is the need for spending and the need for additional baseline through the Farm Bill to address a lot of these challenges. Hopefully we'll see that.
We talk about Farm Bill. We usually are talking about acronyms that get thrown in there, ARC, PLC. Of course, we could talk acronyms all day long. Don't know that this is actually an acronym, but F, the number 4, and then F. And it's just something I wrote down here to remind me to ask you about Farmers Union's fairness for farmers. What's happening there?
Right on. Yeah, I like that. We've gone back and forth. Should it be F4F or 3F? But I appreciate that. Yeah, fairness for farmers. I think many of the points that Farmers Union members have raised over the last year that we've been running this campaign have been to make sure that when we see big shifts in the food supply and when we see higher prices at the grocery store, when we see higher input costs for farmers, when we see lower prices for farmers to sell their products, or what they produce, we need to make sure that what's happening in the economy isn't coming at the expense of family farmers and ranchers. And a lot of those priorities could well be part of a competition title, whether it's on those cattle bills, whether it's on mandatory country of origin labeling, whether it's about supporting right to repair through policy goals or, closer looks at some of the mergers that are going on in the food system or rural economies. These priorities need to be addressed in the Farm Bill. It's a good time for us to have that big national conversation about what we see as a priority in our food system. And we'd welcome those Fairness for Farmers issues to be part of the 2023 Farm Bill. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, speaking of looking forward, we're still a few months away from the annual convention that's open to Farmers Union members from across the nation. If somebody wants to learn more about Farmers Union, maybe not a member at this point, but interested in finding out more and becoming a member, how do we find out more?
Absolutely. Well, you can go to nfu.org/convention, or you can find it on our page there. And we'll be having our 121st anniversary convention in San Francisco in early March, March 5th through 7th. And we'll hear from we'll have our very exciting and thorough policy deliberation process amongst Farmers Union delegates and members. We'll hear from a slate of speakers, have some workshops and sessions to help us learn more about either what's going on in agriculture, in our communities, and cooperatives, and probably more than anything else, have some good time together, because it's always a fun time with a big group of Farmers Union members and friends like that. So encourage anybody who's interested to check us out at nfu.org and look out for our convention information. Hope you can join us in San Francisco. It'll be a great time to be out there.
Yeah. Find out more online, nfu.org. Mike Strands is Vice President of Advocacy with the National Farmers Union, joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
People of the High Plains, listen up. You won't want to miss the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show November 29th through December 1st. This free-to-attend show has everything. Hundreds of exhibitors showcasing large farm equipment, UTVs and ATVs, seed, irrigation, ag services, and even some holiday shopping experiences. Visit the show to earn CEU credits, catch market outlooks, or attend the all-new Cotton Conference. So much to do and so much to see at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. Visit AmarilloFarmShow.com for details.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Mike Strands with the National Farmers Union.
Farming season is coming to a close, and you and your equipment have been running hard. It's time to slow down with some much-needed maintenance. At Livingston Machinery, we can get your machines back to performance ready with the annual winter service special going on now. For a limited time, get 15% off AgCo parts, 10% off service, and 180 days no interest, no payments when you use your AgCo Plus account. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Join us at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show November 29th through December 1st at the Amarillo Civic Center. Connect with hundreds of exhibitors showcasing the latest agricultural innovations from large equipment to seed, chemicals, irrigation, and everything in between. Plus, don't miss a chance to do some holiday shopping. You can also earn CEU credits at the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Workshop Series, attend the Texas Wheat Symposium, or all-new Cotton Conference. It's all happening at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. Visit AmarilloFarmShow.com for more information.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Learn more about the National Farmers Union online at nfu.org. www.hardworkinc.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
People of the High Plains, listen up. You won't want to miss the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show November 29th through December 1st. This free-to-attend show has everything. Hundreds of exhibitors showcasing large farm equipment, UTVs and ATVs, seed, irrigation, ag services, and even some holiday shopping experiences. Visit the show to earn CEU credits, catch market outlooks, or attend the all-new Cotton Conference. So much to do and so much to see at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. Visit AmarilloFarmShow.com for details.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Among USDA risk management agency efforts in educating crop insurance agents, adjusters, and policyholders,
RMA has invested $3.19 million since 2021. Those involve partnerships with 25 projects across the country.
Now, RMA Administrator Marsha Munger says an additional investment of $3.3 million will utilize two partnerships in training the next generation of crop insurance agents, adjusters, and outreach educators, particularly among underserved communities.
The Southern Risk Management Education Center at the University of Arkansas, the partnership with the Intertribal Ag Council.
Additional information about crop insurance options for underserved, specialty crop, organic, and small-scale producers is available through a new virtual roadshow presented November 15th and December 13th at www.rma.usda.gov's Outreach and Education webpage. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.